Hey all, welcome back to the Real Life Pharmacology Podcast. I am your host, Eric Christensen, pharmacist. And if you want to get in contact with me, LinkedIn is a good way to do that. Eric Christensen, PharmD, BCGP, BCPS, you can find me there. Also through the website, reallifepharmacology.com. We've also got that free giveaway, 31-page PDF on the top 200 drugs and their pharmacology and important clinical pearls that you actually might come across in real life. So definitely go download that for free. And obviously you also get updates when we've got a new podcast or any other info to share for you there. So go check that out at reallifepharmacology.com. For today, we're going to get into metronidazole. The brand name of that medication is Flagyl, and this is an antibiotic for infection. I do see it somewhat frequently, I guess. Definitely a good one to know, to pay attention to. Being an antibiotic, probably the most common uses for this medication, bacterial vaginosis. Historically, C. diff was probably a lot more common for its use. We have had changes in the guidelines, and now, at least at this point, at the time I'm making it, vancomycin oral is typically going to be preferred there, but still remains an option if certain other options aren't available there. Intra-abdominal infections in general, metronidazole's got some good activity specifically against anaerobic bacteria. Okay, so that's an important little nugget to remember with regards to the use and where you might see metronidazole used. And kind of along with that, depending upon the type and surgery, the type of surgery and the location of surgery, metronidazole might be used in prophylaxis. Again, you know, if you're doing some sort of GI surgery where gut bacteria are going to be in play, we might use metronidazole because a lot of those bacteria are potentially susceptible to the drug. Now, adverse effect profile, I think this is definitely important. With antibiotic, you know, nausea, vomiting, stomach upset can potentially happen. And with, I would say, the majority of antibiotics, it is okay to take them with food. And metronidazole certainly falls under that umbrella. So if you're having a patient reporting some issues with stomach upset, feeling kind of nauseous with their medication, with taking metronidazole, definitely encourage them to at least start to try to take with food if they aren't already doing so. Other adverse effects, I think of the GI tract continuing along those lines. Metronidazole can provide a unique taste to the mouth, and for some patients it can be very, very troubling and bothersome. It's most patients will report almost a metallic type taste in their mouth, but keep in mind if patients are noticing food tastes different or, you know, something else going on with taste buds and eating, definitely could be metronidazole having that adverse effect there. There are some, you know, rare things that can happen with metronidazole. One really unique thing that I have encountered in the past, again, very, very rare, but CNS changes can happen with metronidazole. And one thing specifically with those CNS changes is peripheral neuropathy. So that's kind of an interesting neurologic type effect that can potentially happen with metronidazole. Now, I will say the risk of, you know, some of these issues, or particularly the central nervous system issues, is likely going to go up as we increase doses and as we extend out that duration. I'm thinking along the lines of peripheral neuropathy, probably not real likely to happen, you know, if the patient's only getting it for a very, very short period of time, you know, a few days, for example. So keep that in mind as you think about the adverse effect profile and as you see metronidazole used. Now, that is more specific to, you know, metronidazole, that's obviously going to be for systemic oral use. So important to, I think, make that differentiation versus topically applied metronidazole, for example. So let's take a quick break from our sponsor, MedEd101.com. If you're in the market for pharmacist board certification study material, whether it be, you know, NAPLEX, pharmacotherapy exam, geriatric exam, ambulatory care, newer certifications like BCMTMS, we have you covered there. Go check out our resources, support our sponsor that help keep this podcast free and educational for all to enjoy. So go check out those resources, meded101.com/store. In addition to those study materials for specific exams, we've also got general clinical pharmacy education as well that you can purchase. So books on Amazon. And if you haven't taken advantage of it yet, definitely check out the links we have on there to Audible. You can get your first Audible book for free. And pharmacotherapy and Thrill of the Case, you can get one of those for free simply by signing up for Audible. No strings attached there. So definitely go take advantage of that. Check that out and support the sponsor, meded101.com/store. So let's finish up on drug interactions here. I've got a blog post of a case scenario on warfarin and metronidazole interaction. So you can find that if you Google search warfarin and metronidazole, MedEd 101, you should be able to track that down and find that drug interaction there. What primarily happens, or the end outcome or the risk with using adding metronidazole to a patient, you know, stabilized with decent INR on warfarin, is you're going to escalate those concentrations of warfarin and potentially lead to supratherapeutic INR and risk of bleed, of course. Now, mechanistically, how that plays out, that's likely caused by metronidazole's ability to inhibit CYP2C9. So that's how that drug interaction is going to play out and why it's likely to happen there. One super important patient education point, don't forget about alcohol use. Metronidazole and alcohol use should not be combined with one another, okay? So with a lot of other drugs, it's sometimes up in the air or ambiguous. It's like, you know, we generally don't want our patients drinking a bunch of alcohol with medications regardless. But with metronidazole, absolutely not a good idea. And you want to make sure that there's probably a good chunk of time after they stop taking that metronidazole that they abstain from alcohol as well there. So pay attention to that as well as far as resuming the use of alcohol. We want that drug to ensure that it's out of the system for sure. Keep in mind there are some drug products. I specifically think of some of the benzodiazepines, so injectable and rectal administration routes that may have propylene glycol within them. And if you see that in, you know, benzodiazepines or any other drug in that formulation that's being used, you've got to remember that can have that same interaction that alcohol can have. So describing that reaction or why this interaction is important, what can result is called a disulfiram reaction, and symptoms from this reaction are going to be flushing, stomach upset, pain, headache, and potentially even things like dizziness. So, and can be very, very severe, uncomfortable reaction for patients there. So definitely avoid alcohol and similar type products when metronidazole is being used. One other interaction I did want to mention is, remember some of the enzyme inducers. So, you know, classic example that comes to mind is phenytoin. So phenytoin can ultimately reduce the concentrations of metronidazole. And what's going to end up happening is you've got a greater likelihood of treatment failure with that antibiotic. So I think that's going to wrap up the podcast for today. Thanks so much for listening. If you enjoy the show, leave a rating, review on iTunes. Greatly appreciated to all of you who have done that already. Very, very thankful for that, and obviously pleasantly surprised by the number of you out there listening. I greatly appreciate it. It's very, very humbling to say the least. So thanks to all of you who have done that. Again, check out the reallifepharmacology.com website. Go snag that free 31-page PDF. Once you subscribe, you'll easily get access to that, be able to download that, and a really nice resource for folks that want to pick up a few more pearls on pharmacology and clinical pharmacy medication practice. Thanks so much for listening. Take care and have a great rest of your day.